Delegates at the UN Conference on Sustainable Development in Johannesburg are close to adopting a formal action plan. The document, which has been negotiated over several days, sets extremely challenging targets for reducing poverty and improving living conditions around the world. Even though it is not legally binding, it has been the subject of intense political fighting. NPR's Richard Harris reports from Johannesburg.
The official product of the summit is called an action plan, but it's actually more of a wish list. For example, it calls for providing clean water to 500 million more people worldwide in the next dozen years. It calls for improving sanitation and sewage for 1 billion people in that same time frame. The document does not spell out how to achieve those lofty goals. One of the most contentious issues was energy. European negotiators fought to include targets for clean energy production. They wanted language that called on nations to increase the use of renewable energy supplies, such as wind, solar, and small-scale hydroelectric plants. But the United States, Japan, and oil-producing countries rejected energy targets. Environmental activists, such as Tony Jupiter at Friends of the Earth International, are unhappy with this agreement.
The governments have committed themselves to continuing with business as usual, which is a disaster considering what we now know about the process of climate change and what we know about the impacts of some energy sources, like, for example, large-scale hydropower.
Europe was proposing goals that would require a large and rapid shift away from coal, oil, and natural gas. U.S. negotiators argued that it's more important to make energy available to more people around the world and said the renewable target could get in the way of that. Even though the energy language essentially restates what governments are already doing, Christy Todd Whitman, who heads the Environmental Protection Agency, told reporters today that the talks still serve a purpose.
The focus would not have been the same if there hadn't been a world summit, if you hadn't gotten world leaders, if you hadn't gotten delegations from around the world here to hammer out the text. And it may seem on its surface that the text doesn't do as much as some people might have liked, but it is very significant.
During the summit, governments unveiled hundreds of mostly small-scale plans to address poverty and environmental degradation. But those plans come nowhere close to adding up to the enormous steps called for in the 70-page plan of action. The United States and Europe have also recently said they plan to increase the amount of money going to foreign aid. That's a turnaround. Since the Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro 10 years ago, foreign aid has declined. UN spokeswoman Sue Markham says at least that represents movement toward the goals.
We're not saying that this is the end, it's just the beginning, in fact, and we hope that this is a trend that will continue.
Juniper from Friends of the Earth says the ambitious targets do at least give activists something to point to prod governments into action.
The track record of the rich countries in particular after the Rio summit is not encouraging. Pretty much all of the targets that were made there, both the legally binding ones on climate change, for instance, and also the voluntary ones, or rather the ones that statements of intent on, for example, overseas aid level, they never met them.
That's why some in the developing world are skeptical of the flow of words from Johannesburg. Tomorrow, Secretary of State Colin Powell will appear to address the summit. That's the final day of this 10-day conference. Richard Harris, NPR News, Johannesburg.